Now the fun begins.
Bridget.
Stop! You violated the law.
Welcome back to another episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So, of course, like I tell you every week, be sure to subscribe to us, rate us, review us, interact with us, and always possible, all that jazz I tell you every week, the whole rigmarole, wherever you get a podcast at. And if we're not on that platform that you're like to listen to, whether it's Podfreaks or I just made that one up. There may be a Podfreaks out there. I really don't know. But it's a platform that you listen to and we're not on. Let me know. I'll get us on there for you. Make it a little bit easier for you. Scratch my back. I scratch your, you know what I'm saying? Anyways. But yeah, of course. And also, naturally, follow us on Twitter at GPGC Podcast. Stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games like and our dope giveaways. I'm your host, as always, Travis White, aka Travelus, on most internet platforms. Joining me are the thoughts and sounds in my head, the voices, they just won't stop. Yeah, it's just me this week. Actually, for the next 2 weeks, unfortunately, it will just be me. So a little scheduling and program update, however you want to call it, whatever they call it in media, scheduling update, we'll just go with that. For the next 2 weeks, so this week included and next week's show, it'll just be me, because I am kind of recording those back to back. I'm going on my honeymoon, so I'm really excited, and the reason why it's just me and we're kind of doing this in back to back, Mike's also on vacation, so it just is one of those, the stars aligned, and we are both just, life has gotten in the way. This is my first vacation where I'm not, like, taking audio equipment with me to make sure I'm able to record remotely. We did that. What did we do that last? I think in the past 2 years. No, because we didn't go. I didn't go anywhere in 2020, obviously. We went on a really small, like, 4 or 5 day vacation last year with my then fiance, now wife, but then fiance and her parents to the beach. Just quick flight getaway. For a handful of days, and then came back, which was nice because there really wasn't a ton of people out still, still mask mandates and everything. We were being careful and, you know, all that jazz. We were all vaccinated, yada, yada. But it was nice to kind of get away and do that. But I brought my equipment with me to record. And anywhere I've really gone that could potentially be around us in the show, I always bring my, you know, my laptop and, you know, my audio equipment, whether it's my mic, headphones, all that jazz, to make sure that I can edit and record and all that jazz on the go so you don't miss. We've been doing the show for over 3 years now. Have not missed a week. We are 9 a.m. every Friday morning, man. Something I take pride in. But for once, I am not doing that. We're going to all around UK. It's like a 10 or 11 day trip. So this is something that I am not going to be able to really take my stuff with, and I say this in a good way. I don't want to. I'm ready to just disconnect, spend a lot of time, obviously, with my fiance, finally celebrate. We had to hold our honeymoon off until the summer. She's a teacher, so her schedule is a little crazy during the school year. So we're going big and doing a really big Norwegian cruise line trip. So we're going all around, flying into Iceland, going down to Iceland, a couple cities in there, then to Northern Ireland, Ireland. We got to stop in Liverpool and Wales, Portland, and then we fly out of London. So really excited to do all that. So I'm not taking any of that. Now, granted, that doesn't mean I'm not playing video games during this. That's a big thing I'm looking forward to, because with a big trip like this, there's a lot of flights. And specifically, there's a lot of long flights. So my Steam Deck is fucking packed, baby. I wish I had it right by me, because I was going through, like, everything that I had that I'm like, okay, I want to make sure I download this, make sure I download this, make sure I download this. I'm really looking forward to, like, sitting down and really kind of, and granted, I've been, putting hours into it, but typically when I'm home, I'm usually not playing on a handheld device. I don't default to that necessarily all the time. The Steam Deck's nice for me with like work and stuff like that. If I have downtime or, you know, stuff's going on, I'm eating lunch or whatever, taking a break from doing stuff, at the office and things like that. It's great for that. Obviously travel and stuff like that. But it's, I typically, like, if I'm home, I'm either on, and I'm gaming, I'm either on my console or on my PC. Now, granted, as I primarily play, like, I shouldn't say it. When I'm at the TV, I'm playing consoles. Now, granted, that'll help really because I have a Steam Link for, my hundreds of games I have in my Steam library that I've amassed over the years. Like, it's great to do that, but the latency is so bad at times that it's like, we have good internet. So it's kind of like one of those things that's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, in the hardware, I still stand by the Steam Link was a good piece of technology. It just, the controller bogged it down a little bit too much. But granted, now that it's been updated, you're able to use any, Bluetooth-enabled controller for the most part. It was really easy to make that happen. And it's really easy, I think, and really seamless once you get it up and running. But the Steam Deck will obviously make that a lot easier once the dock comes out and whatnot. Because I'm not fucking around with a third-party dock. Granted, if one of the great sponsors out there would like to send us one to review for the show, by all means, hit me up, bonusaccessory@gmail.com, and we can talk about that. But as of right now, I don't necessarily want to risk a third-party dock to try that out and to test. But money talks, man. No, but I love to be proven wrong. So if there's any companies out there who want to get send us over some items for review for the show, by all means, in terms of docs, would love to test them out. But if not, I'm going to default and wait till the official Valve one comes out and set it up to the TV and whatnot. So it'll be good for my Steam library to take and be able to kind of play that pretty much anywhere. But primarily when I'm at home, I'm either playing on my PC, whether it's Steam, Game Pass on PC, whatever, or in Blizzard and all that shit, Battle.net, whatnot. Or I'm playing either my, Xbox Series X, or Xbox Series X, PS5, or my Switch usually docked. Now, when I'm at home and I am playing handheld, it's usually something like with the Switch, I'm into something and my wife wants to watch a movie, or, she wants to watch one of her shows that she's been watching, or she's reading, or something like that, or the TV's just taken up that, that she's doing something, and I want to keep playing, cool, pop it up, keep going. That'll be really good for, if I'm playing something at my desktop, and I'm like, I don't want to necessarily sit up here and, now, granted, I'm all about that hermit life, baby, don't get me wrong. If you know me by now, you've been listening to the show for 3 years now, you know me. And I say this a little hyperbolic. I love doing things outside, but fuck outside. Inside life, that inside life is fucking chef's kiss, man. What do you got out there? Fucking trees? Oh, a bear? Like, I got this fucking beefy ass rig that I'm talking to right now that I could play all of my fucking games on at high ass frames on my 1440p monitor. Like, I'm all about that. I'm all about that action, homie. So, anyways, though, I'm kidding, but it'll be nice to be able to take that away if I want to go and, obviously spend some time with my wife and sit down and, while she's just hanging out, being around each other, talking to each other, but also taking the games on the road. But I'm excited to play that on the road while I'm doing this trip. And one of the games I'm really looking forward to, I've been holding off for a while. I almost bought it on console. I almost bought it on Steam, but I waited until now, because I was like, it's going to be a perfect playing game. And that is Stray. I'm very excited to jump into Stray while I'm on, that's my first flight game. That's like, we have a connecting flight out of Pittsburgh to like Newark and then Newark to Iceland. That's going to be my first chunk of those flights. I'm going to play Stray. I may even just do a fucking, first flight and then right into the next one and boom, just knock it out right there, man. Get her going. I'm all about that cat life right now. My dog just gave me a look like, you're what? Excuse me. But no, I'm excited to play that. But yes, rounding this all PSA out, the next 2 weeks, it's just going to be me. It's just going to be us bullshitting thoughts from my mind, what's going on, kind of updating everyone, just checking in. These check-ins that I like to do when shit's going wild, or my schedule's crazy, we can't align, or I just want to get in and make sure I talk with you guys to keep it going, keep our dialogue open and, you know, talking and whatnot. But yeah, so the next 2 weeks, it's just going to be me and you guys just shooting the shit on everything video games, life related to. I haven't been to therapy in a few months. This may just be a great outlet for therapy. much more affordable. Our country, man, don't do any fucking favors whenever you need any kind of like medical help in any sense. You know, you just want to feel better. That's going to be about like $1 billion. And that's coming from somebody who has pretty damn good insurance. So, universal healthcare. Let's push for that shit. Anywho, though, that's neither here nor there. So next 2 weeks, just us. We're going to be talking. Outside of stuff I've been playing, just kind of getting into the normal chunk of the show. Really, like I said, last week wrapped up my Red Dead playthrough. It really hasn't been much out of that. I started booting up one of the things I've been kind of playing on my Steam Deck, and I wanted to make sure I got it running before I left, because that was one of the games I booted. I wanted to make sure were installed, and actually all three, was the whole Arkham trilogy. So, well, I guess I should say Saga, because there is Origins, but the Rocksteady ones. I have Origins on PC as well, but you get the point. The Arkham trilogy of Rocksteady games. So I had those booted up, and I just naturally want, I was like, at least Arkham Asylum at the basis is a perfect handheld game, I feel, at this point. The third-person action-adventure, Metroidvania-inspired, I think that is so, like, that just feels so great to play in handheld. Like, that is one of the excellent examples, I think, that has transitioned well. Now, granted, obviously haven't played City, and really City and Asylum aren't necessarily drastically different games, but obviously moving to more open world and more expansive, you know, house traversal playing in handheld is, you know, but Knight, I think, will be the big difference to really tell, because that is, I don't want to say completely drastically a different game, but there are much more diverse elements to the game, comparative to the two, where both are pretty honed in. And I think that was obviously Arkham Knight's biggest flaw, was it wasn't as tight of a package. Story was great, atmosphere was great, environments were great, you know, from graphical fidelity it was great. I think in art direction, it's the best. Let's put this way, it was evolved. It evolved with, I think, the technology at the time, where you started with the Arkham Asylum art style, which was very bulky, very over the top. And that fit really, I think, to from a presentation standpoint of that era of game development of, hey, what can we do that is the most, you know, while keeping it within the technology limitations, what can we do that still gives us that pop and that wow factor? And that's really finding that unique art style. It was very comic booky, which somebody who's a comic kid, like, that was great to see. Like, I always appreciated that, because that was always the start of, hey, this is a new era of licensed properties, like licensed video game properties, that we're not just getting, you know, easy tie-in games. We're not just getting these quick cash grabs. No, this is a fully fleshed, developed, you know, game that is, you know, truly, I think, from the ground up, like, I think Arkham Asylum is one of the most important games in at least the last, you know, 15 years or so, in terms of this specific thing, like taking licensed properties and really putting the emphasis on, you know, they're definitely, for sure, without the success of Arkham Asylum, there isn't a Marvel games. We don't get a Spider-Man. We don't get, the emphasis that Insomniac has put on that. And really, just Marvel games in general, while not all of their swings have been hits, they're still taking the steps to, hey, we're at least putting our properties in the right developer's hands to see what they can do. We're not just saying, hey, we're signing this deal with you, need a game out in 12 months. Don't really care about the quality. We just got to make sure it times up with the movie to get out or whatever, you know? So we're starting to see that without Asylum, we wouldn't get any of that emphasis that we've gotten now on the Marvel end, over the years. So And even too, like things like multiverses, like for example, multiverses is a game that should not be anywhere near as good as it is. It shouldn't. Let's just be honest. If Multiverses came out 10 years ago, I think it would have been laughed out of the building. Completely laughed out of the building. Nobody would take it serious. But for the amount of care and dedication and what WB has opened up and said, hey, you know, we want to add the same, realistically, the same approach that we did with Rocksteady and our Batman IP, we want to transition that into something that we've seen that there is a want for the arena-style platform fighter, like the Smash Brothers. You know, we've seen that, and we've seen that it's actually had a little more room than we've expected. The Nicktoons fighter, not to mention Brawlhalla is another one. What was the other one? There was another one on top of Brawlhalla that I always think about. It's a 2D one. It's gonna bug me. I'm looking it up now. Fuck it, I don't care. Let's see. I know who plays it. I'm looking at my Steam's friends list. I know one person who played a fuck ton of it. Games. Battle right. Where are you? Banter. Filling time. Rivals of Aether. That's it. I knew it wasn't, like, all the ones I was thinking of, I was like, I know it's not that. Anyways, but yeah, Rivals of Aether, like, we've seen the expansiveness of that, like, genre open up a little bit, and specifically that model of the genre that Smash Brothers has really kind of taken over and said, you know, we're going to, Smash Brothers has become the museum of video games for the most part. So, the fact that, you know, so many other entities within gaming, so many other publishers have said, hey, we have these IP that I think a lot of people would be interested in, you know, taking our IP and having a similar approach, you know, and I think like something like a PlayStation All-Stars game, like if that would come back today, I think it would be a completely different game. Given the fact of obviously the lessons Sony learned with the original releases of that game, but also too, for the fact of we've seen them done now well. Yeah, sure. Maybe not to the complete, maybe it isn't as much of a hit as a Smash Brothers, but we've seen success with Multiverses, with the Nicktoons fighter, with Rivals of Aether, like Brawlhalla too. Like we've seen this work before. So, anywho though, long-winded that, you know, they feel great. The Batman Arkham games feel great on handheld. But I've been tinkering around with those because I know Arkham Asylum does not work right out of the box or right from boot. You have to update the Proton version for your Steam Deck to kind of get it to work. Really simple. All you got to do is put it in desktop mode and then go to the Discovery thing on Linux. It's right there. It's super easy to just plug and play with that. It's not voiding anything. It's not doing anything like that. It's a built, like it is all but a built-in function with the Steam Deck. But anywho though, yeah, playing on that, but also knowing like I'm also in this like weird buffer period that I'm like, I don't want to start anything yet because I know like I've been holding off on playing Stray because that is my first playing game that I want to play. I've been holding that off knowing that I'm going to need to kill time with that. So I've been waiting to do that and waiting to play that. So, I haven't really been sinking into anything else. Another game that I have been messing around with that I really, really, really like, and I need to start playing it more. I only have like an hour and a half into it, but I think is fucking fantastic. And especially too, I think, I don't want to even say this game walked so Neon White could run, more so in the fact of this game, Cyberhook, that came out, I believe it was at the end of 2020. I think it was like September of 2020. Very much in a similar vein, only it is very much synthwave inspired and very 2D, or is very low poly, comparative to something like a Neon White that's a little more stylized in, you know, the anime-esque, you know, almost like a JRPG meets, like, speedrunning, like in a more official capacity. But yeah, Cyberhook, really, if you mesh the idea of Neon White, take away the power-ups to a degree, mesh in elements of Superhot and basically a Spider-Man swinging mechanic. It is fucking fun. If you can go out there, get it. I think it's like $15. Cyberhook is $15. There's a demo on Steam that you can get into. But yeah, published by Graffiti Games, Blazing Stick Games, developed it. Definitely check it out. Definitely worth your time. If you're into games like Neon White, it's really fun to get into. I need to start playing it more. I don't know how well it's verified for the deck, if I remember correctly. Yes, Steam Deck compatible. It is verified, works great. I don't know how well I would like playing it on that, granted, because I haven't messed around with Neon White. I only messed around on Neon White over at Adams the one day, but it was on PC, so that is a game that easily is very much mouse and keyboard, like, right at home at mouse and keyboard. That has to be the preferred method, but at the same time, too, you know, I'm sure it runs fine with controller, or plays, you know, well with controller. I just personally wouldn't go and play it on controller, just because I like to play any kind of fast-paced, first-person perspective games like this. Like, I think of, like, Doom as well, I think of Quake, anything like that, really any first-person shooter, I prefer to play mouse and keyboard over controller, any shooter in general. And this has those first-person shooter elements, just in the sense of aiming and, you know, aiming the line that you're being pulled with and swinging with, like Spider-Man. You know, it is much more precise. You need to be much more precise at times to make all this happen, because it is very much time trials, beating times, setting records, like, but it's addicting. So definitely check that out. And that's pretty much all I've been playing. Like I said, granted, I won't be able to talk about it because I'm recording these episodes kind of back to back. Like I said, so I won't be able to talk about Stray until I get back. But outside of that, yeah, that's about it. All I've been playing the past couple of days. So anywho, let's jump into the meat of our episode this week. So this week's episode, I kind of had a little bit of a toss up. Part of me wanted to do a review, a more detailed review, since Mike didn't play it, that now I kind of had an excuse to be like, okay, I can get into, you know, deeper into this game because I really dig it. And great, I talked about it a little bit on last week's show, but talking about As Dusk Falls, I thought, okay, do I want to do like almost like just a much more, you know, much more in-depth kind of with some, you know, a little more air to breathe with it, review of the game, obviously non-spoilers, but my wife and I we're close to finishing it, that I wanted to wait. I thought about it, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna wait, I'm gonna sit on this one, I'll wait till we have, you know, I could just do it as a one-off myself even, you know, and release kind of a bonus episode, because I do want to talk about the game. I think the game's phenomenal. You know, as of right now, haven't finished the game, obviously, but I really think it is a well-written game. I talked about that last week. But I thought about it, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to hang off on that. So when I was kind of thinking of, like, okay, what do we want to talk about this week, since it's just going to be, you know, me and obviously you guys listening, I started thinking about it, and another reason, since Mike isn't here, and he is not the biggest Overwatch fan, I get to call the shots this week. So there's kind of a kerfluffle going around a little bit about monetization now that Overwatch is going to be going to free-to-play with Overwatch 2 later this year, at least with the multiplayer end. And there's been some, you know, kind of issues popping up about the potential really kind of pricing structure of how Blizzard and really eventually Microsoft is going to kind of handle this. So I thought Ryan Leston over at IGN had a really good write-up of it, and they were able to get at least some, you know, comment from Blizzard as well to kind of say, hey, this is what's going on, like, you know, yada yada, and we'll get into that. But I thought Ryan had a really good write-up over there about it to kind of set the tail, and we'll get into it. So Overwatch 2 survey asking about $45 skins quote, not indicative of final pricing. Like I said, comes from Ryan Leston over at IGN, link in the description. A survey causing waves within the Overwatch 2 community is, quote, not indicative of final pricing, a spokesperson tells IGN, as Blizzard seeks to introduce a version of the popular shooter without loot boxes. Blizzard's statement follows reports of a survey first noted on Twitter by @PorterGage, that asked players whether they would be willing to pay $45 for the new highest rarity of Overwatch skins in the upcoming sequel. The idea didn't go down well. Quote, oof, friend of mine got an Overwatch survey from his account, or for his account. Some of these prices they're gauging for Overwatch 2 are really expensive, says PorterGage. I hope this is just him getting one of their higher price surveys and not an indication that they're leaning towards this much monetization. The survey lists proposed prices for weapons, skins, and charms, asking players if they would be willing to pay $44.99 for a single mythic skin, $24.99 for a legendary skin, and $20.99 for a legendary bundle, or $9.99 for a weapon charm. That's a lot higher than you might expect. Quote, I am still surprised people are willing to pay this much for skins, said one Reddit user. When I played Valorant for a while, I would refuse to pay these sorts of prices. Would only get a few select things on sale in air quotes, or the season pass if I knew I would be playing enough and it had a few items that I wanted. Activision came under fire recently for its controversial Diablo Immortal microtransactions. A Blizzard spokesperson told IGN, quote, this survey is entirely intended to better understand player preferences for different types of Overwatch 2 cosmetics. Prices displayed in the survey were randomized per user and are not indicative of final pricing. We plan to share details on our shop and battle pass system closer to our October 4th launch. Ultimately, Blizzard says that some of the suggestions in the Overwatch 2 survey are not meant to be reasonable, presumably gauging interest among players to find a spot that makes the company money without scaring players away. Overwatch 2 caused additional concerns recently when it revealed that its upcoming sequel would essentially replace the original game when it officially launches later this year. So, as somebody who plays a lot of Overwatch, or I should say did, I haven't been playing it recently, but as somebody who has a history with Overwatch, a fond history, and somebody who is planning to definitely still play Overwatch 2, it's interesting. It's really, really interesting. Clearly, free-to-play, especially for live service games, is the model of not the future, not just the future, but the now. It is very much where that, I don't want to even say genre, but more so that structure of game needs to go, where anything that is, you know, live at all times really, I think, needs to have that low barrier of entry to make sure it's always populated. Because that's the biggest thing is player interaction at that point, making sure you have enough players at all points. You know, and there's obviously outlier situations like, you know, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy 14, things like that, that realistically, I think, have been so ingrained in the idea of the subscription model that their player base is just, okay, I get it. I accept it. It is what it is. Like, it's very much just, and I think for the most part too, at this point now, World of Warcraft, definitely, I should say this, is a much more niche audience. I think it is very much more long-term players at this point, compared to bringing new players in. Obviously, there's a ton of different things for new players. Like, there's a ton of new incentives for new players to get in. You can play for free up to level 20, I believe it is. You know, you have access to a lot of features right off the bat. There is a lower barrier point. And same with, you know, Final Fantasy 14. There is a, you could play up to free, you play up to a certain level free as well, and it's actually pretty high, if I remember correctly. Plus, you get, like, the first expansion free or something like that. I can't remember. But something crazy like that. And I would say that's even a little different from Overwatch in the sense they're still finding a way to drive in new players all the time. I think at a better clip than Blizzard is doing. But when it comes to the free-to-play model, I think people don't understand the fact of you can't, in a way, if you want to have your cake and eat it too, you got to eat some crow with it as well. So, and I say that in the sense of, at the end of the day, this is a business. Sure, it's a business that handles entertainment and people's passion, and as rightfully so, should be viewed as art. You know, I'm always a believer that video games are art. They're undeniably art, or undeniably art, I should say. But from the free-to-play model, it really kind of puts developers at, and the I shouldn't say just the development studio, but also the publisher at an interesting crossroads too, where yes, that is the, like I said, that is the right thing to do. If you ask me, if it's a live service game, they all should be launching free to play for the sole fact of it's an easy, easy way to keep your game populated. It's always easy to keep your game populated, at least in that manner, where there's basically no barrier to entry, period. You can just get in, boom, you're up and running. You know, games like Fortnite, I think Epic has really cracked the code with Fortnite in the sense of, hey, we want to make it as easy as possible for you to get into your game and you to play. It is like two button presses to get into a game of Fortnite. Like, at least, you know, with just standard Battle Royale. It is super easy to just get in and drop it. And same when you die, it is easy. All you have to do is pretty much just hit, like, okay, I don't want to view this player and I want to ready up. Okay, let's go. Like, you're right back into it. But with that comes the need to, okay, as these quality of life things keep changing and you want the game gets more popular and things like that, we, you know, there's a lot more server upkeep and we want to make improvements to the game. It's a business at the end of the day. They obviously want to make money. The publisher wants to make money. The developer needs to make money. But on top of that, too, if you want these additional things, there's a cost that comes to it. That's just capitalism. Like, to an extent, that does suck that it's like, you know, hey, this is something that, you know, you see the bad side of that where it's, you know, hey, people are being taken advantage of. There's, you know, you heard about it with Epic when Fortnite was really starting to blow up, you know. What was that, like 4 or 5 years ago, like late 2017, first half of 2018, where Fortnite was really just rocketing, that, you know, it kind of really was an easy, I don't want to say low hanging fruit, but it was easy example to point to of, this is what we're hearing out of Epic from these developers who work on Fortnite. It's great that they're always updating. They always have events going on. They always have things, new skins, new everything, new battle passes, yada, yada, new events all the time. But the game never stops, so the development never stops. And it is crunch all the fucking time. So, if you want that, and you want all those things, there's a price that comes with it. And the easiest way to do that, and bringing this back to Overwatch 2, is monetization of cosmetics. Period. I mean, that's the easiest way to do it. Now, the article kind of mentions Diablo Immortal. That is a perfect example of how not to do it. That is very much obviously what you see so much in mobile games, where those are very much predatory, if you ask me. That it is very much, hey, we're going to just, you know, here's this game, the easiest way, you know, listen, we understand you're busy. We understand that you're playing this game in between meetings, on the way home from work, chilling out on your couch, taking your kid to the soccer game, whatever. Like, and your kid who, you know, has a phone or an, you know, they stopped making iPods, but you get what I mean. Hey, he has an iOS device. He has a tablet of some sort. He has an Android tablet. He has an iPad. He has whatever. He's wanting to play these games on here want to play these games on here. Boom, 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 boom. They're doing all this stuff. Oh, well, easy way to get money out of them is it's already tied to mom and dad's credit card. Yeah, we just got to tell them, oh, well, you have to wait an hour till this recharges, or you could spend $10 right now or buy these gems to just go right and keep playing. Like, that's where it gets predatory. What I think, finally, the majority, I would say, of publishers, developers, and it's very much the monetization end is much more publisher focused. That's on the end of, okay, you bring us, you know, from the development side, hey, here's, you know, more of the, this is the, let me restart. I'm getting tongue-tied. From the publishing end, that's more of the, hey, here's the, you know, with the business end and whatnot, hey, this is what we need to meet, this is what we're doing, you know, we want to keep this profitable, yada yada, we want to keep this going, so we're going to start introducing, you know, monetization to it with cosmetics, we could do skins for guns and this and that, blah 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 blah. And that's where the developer on that end is more so, yeah, and we can implement this, this, and this in terms of within those parameters, and here's ideas for those that we're creating. And that's more of the, obviously the execution end and the creation end compared to the, you know, brainstorming end and the logistical end, I guess you should say, I should say, of the financial end. But the easiest way to do that and keep your game financially, you know, to keep up with that and help make it financially profitable is skins. Like, that's just, it is. Look at CSGO. I mean, a game that I've played, Counter-Strike in general, but CSGO specifically, look at how that game and how Valve basically just created a whole ecosystem, financial ecosystem on their own with the marketplace, with being able to buy and sell skins. Like, you can just go onto the market right now. I'm pulling it up. Let's look at, I mean, they have obviously cases on here first and foremost, but let's look at weapons. Look at a knife. What we got here? The cheapest one, cheapest, and that's like field tested, well worn, and nothing special. Let's just say for the Falchioni knife, Urban Mast. I mean, this is low tier, like, and that's saying a lot. $80. $80. And that's just cold hard cash onto your account. So, you know, and that's just through Steam. That is just through Valve that you can go and do that. And use that money to buy games, do whatever, you know. It's crazy. So, but it's shown too, especially now that that's gone free to play a few years ago, how accessible and how easy it is to for people to be like, yeah, I'm playing this game a lot. I mean, Counter-Strike is hands down just one of the most popular games in the world. I mean, right now, we're talking 10:45 in standard Eastern time at night. There is almost 500,000 people playing right now. So, you know, games like that, it's so easy to just turn and say, yes, these are people who are, this may be one of the only games people play, if not the only game people play. Cool. They're obviously wanting to get more and more value added to that. Additionally to that, you give them things like skins, like charms, like stickers and things like that. It's an easy sell. And it's an easy way to keep your game or your player base engaged both physically and financially too. Now, it's a double-edged sword with that though. I mean, it's just business in general. There's a price for everything and then there's a ceiling for that price that, you know, it's like the idea of haggling. Like, you don't want to be the first person to throw out the price. You want to be the person to respond to the price. You know, whether it's like, you know, I collect video games. Granted, I've been a little slow on that the past couple of years, but still do. But was very heavily into it, right, you know, not long after college and, you know, but collecting like retro video games and things like that. And it was always, you know, there's fair market value and trying to find a good deal and this and that. And like, it was always, you know, or best offer. Okay, well, they have a price in mind. They have, you know, a certain price range they want to hit, you know, but, or they say make an offer on something. Like, you don't want to be that person make an offer. It's like buying a car too. Like, you want to get the best price. You want to work with them to start, you know, in their mind, hey, I'm going to set the price high. Maybe there is somebody out there who will get that and be willing to pay that. But for the most part, most people are probably going to get me down to my actual price that I have in mind of this is what I would like to get from it. Then there's also to the lowest price. If you don't have anyone biting on it, okay, we're going to lower the price. This is what we have to make. So I'm making my money, whether I'm making my money back or whatever. And it's the same approach to this. This survey, like what it did with Overwatch 2, isn't anything shocking. by any stretch of the imagination. Like, this is very much like everyday stuff, where I truly believe, like, this, and even what they're bringing up, too. Like, I, granted, would I pay $45 for the highest rarity of an Overwatch skin? Absolutely not. And I played hundreds of hours of Overwatch. Love Overwatch. I mean, it's one of the esports, like, outside of Counter-Strike, it's probably my most watched esport. I'm a big Dallas Fuel fan. Like, you know, I love Overwatch. I would not pay $45 for one fucking skin. Period. Play a ton of Counter-Strike. I would not pay $80 for a fucking knife. Like, let alone the thousands, hundreds and thousands of dollars that potentially people are selling skins for in Counter-Strike as well. So I get the idea of them saying, like, oh, would you pay this? Because you look at games like Valorant, and it's like, yeah, they're offering up, like, bundles for $50. Let's just put this out there and see what they say. Like, and that's just, I think that's all just, you know, statistical data and just data in general that they can obviously bring in and kind of crunch the numbers. Obviously, the majority of people are probably going to say $45 is too much money to spend on that. Cool. They already know that. But maybe for some reason now, after, you know, the popularity of Valorant, the popularity of CSGO, like, we've seen what people do pay. Maybe people are more willing to pay for that. Like, if we did super rare items that, sure, you got in a battle pass, but the battle pass went away, and that's the only way to get it is when it comes back in the store. And if you're willing to pay for it, sure, I guess we can. We don't recommend you do that. But if that's really what you want, you know, if you don't want to play the battle pass and you just want to buy it, sure, you can. And that's not necessarily like something out of crazy. I play a lot of Destiny too. Like, you can go through the seasons on there and, like, you can just buy ranks. Same with Fortnite. You can just buy ranks. Like, that's not that out of the ordinary. Now, granted, to get that 40, now to get one specific skin, like, would most people do that? Probably not. But there are people who have. Streamers do it a lot. Like, just because, like, hey, I got out there, and I should say, very successful streamers, like a Ninja, like a Dr. Lupo, or whatever, that can just go in there and very much say, like, yeah, I'm just going to buy, you know, I want this skin, I'm just going to get to the skin, kind of thing. So, you know, it's not crazy to think these prices are a thing, but at the same time, too, do I see it going that direction? No. But the big thing is, I think it's just going to be a little bit of a shell shock to that community a little bit, and a little bit of, you know, whiplash when they are. It's just going to be very different where they're used to buying loot boxes, used to, you know, working through and getting, you know, whether it's loot boxes through levels and unlocking, you know, various in-game items throughout just playing the game. And there's never been this, you know, item store aspect that we've seen now with tons of popular games, Destiny, Fortnite. I don't think CSGO really has one, if I'm thinking out loud. Apex, I believe, has one now too. Like, pretty much most just modern live service games, Dead by Daylight's another game that I play a lot. That's in there as well. So, like, it's nothing out of the ordinary. We're going to see that. But these prices, I'm sure, are going to obviously change a little bit. You know, Activision and Blizzard, and soon Microsoft. And I think that's kind of like the big thing of this, too, is, you know, sure, like I said, they say it's randomized. Prices are randomized. I totally believe that, too. I totally believe, like, hey, or not randomized per prices, but the prices that are thrown up there just to gauge, you know, randomly through to different users, like, not every single user is getting, hey, would you pay $45 for a mythic skin? They may get, one user may get, hey, would you pay $35 for this? Hey, would you pay $55 for this? Hey, would you pay $20 for this? Like, that's just how it is. Like, they're trying to collect market data, and that's so they can get, like they said, try to find that, you know, middle ground of, hey, what's the most you're willing to pay? What's the least, I shouldn't say least, most people, you know, they're be people who probably are like, I don't want to pay for any of it. And to be honest, that's totally justifiable from the player standpoint of, like, you know, hey, I don't owe you anything. Just like, you know, you guys don't owe me anything kind of thing. Like, in terms of, like, what we're giving you with the game, like, you know, if you're not going to support them, don't expect the developers to support you when it comes to the content, then, if that's what you're, you know, trying to imagine. But at the same time, large scale games like this, then it's like, you know, there's enough people, like, there will be enough people who are playing Overwatch to take advantage of those items and things like that, that those few, you know, the smaller or the selective group of people who are like, I'm not giving this game a dime ever, you know, they're very much offset by, you know, some of the whales, quote unquote whales out there who spend a lot of money on that, that kind of make up for that. So, but in terms of the prices in themselves, you know, I think we're at this point now with games that people probably are willing to spend that to a degree. I mean, there's been time, like, I want to say CSGO, first got into, like, really, I guess, like, got out of college and I had, like, a job, like an actual full-time job, I would do the CSGO, like, the third-party sites where you could, like, hey, I'm going to buy spins to, like, basically, or, like, their own created, like, hey, we bought these skins off of people and we're going to make our own crates with these skins that we have bought, these secondhand skins kind of thing. And, like, they were a lot cheaper to buy the crates for than on Valve, but it was also a lot harder to get, like, good skins. But, like, and I'm not saying I spent, like, tons of money, but, like, I probably had thrown in $50 at one point into that, like, where I was just like, oh, yeah, you know, fuck it, why not? And, you know, I've got some good skins out. Granted, I think I got pretty much my money back. I lucked out, but, like, some people don't. But at the same time, too, like, you know, it's not, like, I look back on that and I'm like, granted, I've played CSGO, like, I was there well before they went free to play, obviously. Like, so I had paid for the game and things like that, you know, beforehand. But even then, you know, it's a game that's always been very inexpensive for the most part to play there to buy. So, like, people are willing to put more money back into it. And that's where that, like, okay, usually, like, in my mindset, like, Mike and I have talked about on the show before, games like when Halo Infinite first came out, I knew I was going to be playing Halo Infinite. It's like, I know I'm going to invest some time into this, you know, and I think I put like 200 hours into it or something like that. Yeah, I'm going to buy the Battle Pass because realistically, my barrier to entry is none for this right now. It's free to play. I'm not playing through my, you know, Game Pass account. I'm just doing it through Steam. So yeah, for $10 for almost 200 hours of content, yeah, I'm pretty good with that. Like, I'm good with that. I will gladly do that. Same with, like Destiny. Destiny, I buy the season. I always buy the seasons for the most part. Like, when I'm playing them and knowing I'm playing them. Fortnite, it's another one. I'll buy the Battle Pass if I'm really into Fortnite at the time. Like, I've gotten into it. Like, when no build came back, yeah, I'll buy the Battle Pass. Sure, I want to try to get Doctor Strange. Like, or, like, I bought two skin packs with Fortnite before, the Master Chief one and the Batman one. And I knew I had to get, as soon as they came back in, I was like, well, the Master Chief one, as soon as it went live, I was like, I have to get it. Like, that's just so fucking cool that this is a thing now. I was mad I never bought the Kratos one for God of War. But I was, it's one of those ones and the Batman one too as well, I was like, when that comes back, I told myself, if it ever comes back, I have to buy it. Like, and it's like, I've gotten like a couple hundred hours out of Fortnite over the past 4 years or whatever it is, four and a half years, almost 5 years. Like, for what? I probably spent like $30-$40 on that. Yeah, it's like a normal game. Like, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Like, most people are fine with that, as long as it isn't impacting the actual gameplay elements of it. Like you see with games like Diablo Immortal. Hey, if you want to level your character up and actually get increase your statistics and make it easier for you to win games, and, you know, in even with games like that, in a roundabout way, become better than your player, like, you know, we're talking, you know, Ultimate Teams in the EA Sports games and things like that, where it's like you could just pay to get better players. Like, that's pay to win. You know, no, we don't want that. Pay to play is normally how you play games, but, you know, pay to support, that's a little different. Like, that monetization is great in the sense of, hey, I want to, I'm mostly just, it's almost in the sense that is, I'm backing, it's almost like I'm backing a Kickstarter and you're giving me Kickstarter benefits back on that, or a Patreon. I'm backing you with this and I'm getting this benefit for it, where it's not necessarily impacting my gameplay element, but because I'm supporting this game financially, I'm getting this cosmetic out of it. And that to me is just enhancing your game. That's just enhancing elements of the game. And that's where I think once the community with Overwatch kind of gets that, or like kind of focuses in on that, and a lot of them I'm sure already do at this point, because a lot of them probably are playing other things as well. Nobody just, for the most part, unless you are, you know, a streamer who, a high level streamer who is very well known and built a community around playing a certain game, you're probably playing multiple games. You know, if you're playing in terms of live service games, you're probably dipping your toes in a handful of things. And probably, you know, there's maybe one or two games that you're playing primarily in that. But you're also playing around with other ones. So, you know, from the prices, I don't think it's that ridiculous to kind of see this pop out and be like, oh, for $45, whenever you see like games like Valorant, games like CSGO, where these are all available for you to buy necessarily for around the same price, like the same kind of items. Sure. Is $10 a lot for a weapon charm? I think so. I would pay five or a couple bucks. Anywhere between $2 to $5, I think, is an appropriate price. For a mythic skin, I think, me personally, no more than $25. Like, I think each thing needs to be, like, ratcheted back a little bit. But at the same time, too, they're going to just take that data in and probably say, yeah, you know what? That's probably too high. Or, yeah, we'll start at that. And if nobody wants it, we'll kick it back. Like, that's just normal market data that they're trying to get. So I'm not too worried about that. I personally am not worried about the state of Overwatch 2 with that when that comes out. And I think that is something, especially too, now under the Microsoft wing, or soon to be under the Microsoft wing. I think from that standpoint, it's only going to get better with that, I think. Not to mention, you know, eventually it's going to be like Halo Infinite. Hey, you have Xbox Game Pass? Sure, the game's free to play, but if you have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you're getting, each month you're getting a certain skin that Xbox Game Pass users, Ultimate users, only get if you're subscribed to it and you play through the app or whatever, the Xbox Game Pass PC app, whatever, like, you play through that, or on console, you play through the, you download it through there and it's registered with Game Pass. Like, you're going to get this. As long as it's linked with your Xbox account, you're going to be able to get this skin. Like, they're going to add added benefit to that, and they're going to make it, I feel very confident that with how Microsoft is approaching accessibility with gaming and accessibility in terms of pricing as well, and the barrier to entry with gaming, that anything like that can be corrected. Anything like that. It just doesn't worry me. I just don't see this as a big controversy. It's just market data. So it's something to keep an eye on. Sure, absolutely. But to me, it's market data. I don't want to say, oh, it's not a big deal. But if we get down the road and it comes out that, yeah, we're going to offer a mythic skin for $60, you know, through the store, not a third party site or whatever. Okay, then we got a problem. You know, then there's an issue. Then I think a lot of people are going to be like, okay, fuck it, we're not playing. So it's something to keep an eye on, but I personally am not worried about the state of Overwatch 2 in that regard. I think there's other things to be concerned with, you know, in terms of balancing and things like that, and gameplay modes, and, you know, what's going to go on with, you know, specific characters and things like that. And that to me is the much more pressing issues than the cosmetics. Once again, you do not have to buy them, but a lot of people probably will, because they understand how the sausage is made, for the most part. I think so many people now understand game development, or more so than before, that it's just going to get to a point where it's second nature to just be like, yeah, these are basically Kickstarter, you know, benefits that backers get for supporting the game. You know, I'm paying $50 because I've gotten, you know, 500 hours out of this game. I want this really dope looking skin. Yeah, it's $50, but you know what? I've gotten 500 hours out of it. Fuck yeah, I'm good with that. So, anywho, the long-winded approach to that. I think that's going to do it for episode this week. So, like I said, it's going to be a little weird the next 2 weeks because it's just me. And we're just kind of going over these because I'll be on my honeymoon. If you're listening to this, I am this week, so it'll be Friday. I'll technically still be in Reykjavik. Yes, I'll still be in Reykjavik. Now, the following week after that, I should be in Ireland still. I should be in Dublin, I think, at that point. So, I've been everywhere, man. I won't sing. It's too late to do that anyways. But yeah, so the next 2 weeks with everything, it's just going to be me, like I said. And we'll have these little chats of just kind of like shooting the shit, man. So, that being said, that's going to do it for episode this week. If you want to find out and talk to me, I'm so used to throwing it to Mike there. If you want to find out where we could talk about all this nerdy stuff at online more, continue the discourse, you can just tell me I'm an idiot, which I totally get. You can find me online at the following platforms. Pretty much just Travis, a.k.a. Travless on most internet platforms, including at Travless underscore on Twitter. That's T-R-A-V-L-E-S-S underscore. You can also find me streaming time to time on twitch.tv/Travless_, same as Twitter. And if you want to play some video games with me, specifically on Xbox Live, but pretty much on any platform at this point, you can just find me at regular old Travless, T-R-A-V-L-E-S-S. And this, ladies and gentlemen, has been your newest episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course, PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So be sure to subscribe, just rate, review us, all that jazz, wherever you get a podcast at. And of course, follow us on Twitter at GPGC Podcast. Stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games, like, and our dope giveaways. With that being said, that's going to do it for our episode this week. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening, sharing, being a part of our growing community. Game on, wash your hands, listen to the doctors. Black Lives Matter. And we will see you next week.